I glare at her. I just spent 6 hours standing in a wet bush and breaking into someone else's premises, after putting in a full day's work in preparation. I lean forward, getting steamed. In case you've forgotten, I was in at 8 in the morning yesterday. Then Andy asked me to help with this thing at 4 in the afternoon. Have you ever tried getting a night bus from Croxley to the East End at 2 in the morning when you're soaked to the bone, it's pouring wet, and the only other people at the bus stop are a mugger and a drunk guy who wants to know if you can put him up for the night? I count that as a 20-hour working day with hardship. Want me to submit an overtime claim? Well, you should have phoned in first, she says waspishly. I'm not going to win this one, but I don't think I've lost on points. Anyway, it's not really worth picking a fight with my line manager over trivia. I sit back and yawn, trying not to choke on the cigarette fumes.
Next on the agenda, says Andy. What to do with Malcolm Denver, PhD? Further action is indicated in view of this paper. We can't leave it lying around in public. Cuts too close to the bone. If he goes public and reproduces it, we could be facing a level one reality excursion within weeks. But we can't do the usual brush and clean either. Oversight would have our balls. Ahem. He glances at Harriet, whose lips are thin and unamused. Could have us all cooling our heels for months in a diversity awareness program for the sensitivity impaired. He shudders slightly, and I notice the red ribbon on his lapel. Andy is too precious by half for this job, although, come to think of it, this isn't exactly the most mainstream posting in the civil service. Anyone got any suggestions? Constructive ones, Bob.
Harriet shakes her head disapprovingly. Boris just sits there, being Boris. Boris is one of Angleton's sinister gophers. I think in a previous incarnation he used to ice enemies of the state for the Ochrana, or maybe served coffee for Beria. Now he just imitates the Berlin Wall during internal inquiries. Andy taps his fingers on the desk. Why don't we make him a job offer? I ask. Harriet looks away. She's my line manager, nominally, and she wants to make it clear that this suggestion does not come with her approval. It's like, I shrug, trying to figure out a pitch. He's derived the Turing-Lovecraft theorem from first principles. Not many people can do that. So he's bright, that's a given. I think he's still a pure theory geek, hasn't made any kind of connection with the implications of being able to specify correct geometric relations between power nodes. Maybe still thinks it's all a big joke. No references to D or the others, apart from a couple of minor arcana on his bookshelf. This means he isn't directly dangerous, and we can offer him the opportunity to learn and develop his skills and interests in a new and challenging field, just as long as he's willing to come on the inside, which would get him covered by Section 3 at that point. Section 3 of the Official Secrets Act, 1916, is our principal weapon in the endless war against security leaks. It was passed during a wartime spy scare, a time of deep and extreme paranoia, and it's even more bizarre than most people think. As far as the public knows, the Official Secrets Act only has 2 sections. That's because Section 3 is itself classified secret under the terms of the preceding sections, and merely knowing about Section 3's existence without having formally signed it is a criminal offence. Section 3 has all kinds of juicy hidden provisions to make life easy for spooks like us. It's a bureaucratic cloaking field. Anything at all can go on behind the shroud of Section 3, as if it simply hasn't happened. In American terms, it's a black operation. If you section him, we have to come up with a job and a budget, Harriet accuses.
Yes, but I'm sure he'll be useful, Andy waves languidly. Boris, would you mind asking around your section, see if anyone needs a mathematician or cryptographer or something? I'll write this up and point it at the board. Harriet, if you can add it to the minutes. Bob, I'd like a word with you after the meeting about timekeeping.
Oh, shit, I think.
Anything else? No. Meeting over, folks.
Once we're alone in the conference room, Andy shakes his head.
That wasn't very clever, Bob, winding Harriet up like that.
I know, I shrug. It's just that every time I see her, I get this urge to drop salt on her back.
Yes, but she's technically your line manager, and I'm not, which means you are supposed to phone in if you're going to be late on a day when you've got a kick-off meeting, or else she will raise 7 shades of low-key shit, And, as she will be in the right, appeals to matrix management and conflict resolution won't save you. She'll make your annual performance appraisal look like it's the Cultural Revolution, and you just declared yourself the reincarnation of Heinrich Himmler. Am I making myself clear?